May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 997. Lord, while I wander here below, what ills my soul annoy, for 'tis of thee I little know, and are still less enjoy. 997.
Thank you. the Holy Word of God. We shall read firstly from the Gospel according to John from chapter 3. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3, and reading the first 21 verses, and then we shall turn to the first epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 2. John chapter 3, the first 21 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We now turn to the first epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God, in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer.
Dear Lord, teach us now to pray. O do come, and breathe that breath of living prayer into our hearts. We pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost, whose help and assistance and aid and sacred influence we need, that we might pray aright, that we might ask aright, according to thy will, and as we ought. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. We're so poor, we're so needy, oh, we're so sinful, so wretched, so hard-hearted, so carnal, so far off, poor, miserable, fallen, hell-deserving sinners. In me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Hearts that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, can ever God dwell here? Dear Lord, oh, we come begging for mercy. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. We're not worthy of the very least of thy mercies. But Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And oh, we come as poor penitents, as poor suppliants, pleading for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And thou knowest, Lord, if there are found those here this morning, in coming up to the house of God upon this returning Lord's Day, with that prayer thrust out of their hearts, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Those who have come feeling the burden and guilt of their sins, feeling to be lost, feeling to be undone, oh, feeling to be so wretched, so vile, guilty through and through. Oh, those who tremble at the holy word of God, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Those who feel that condemnation, they feel condemned. Oh, they feel perishing. Oh, Lord, they see the great mountain of their sins, the magnitude of their sins, the multitude of their sins. They know that they cannot cease from sin. Oh, Lord, and perhaps they even fear to pray, feeling it would be presumptuous. And yet that groan, oh, that sigh, oh, that great burden. Oh, Lord, do remember such. Draw them to thyself. Draw them to thy feet. Draw them to a precious Jesus. Draw them to Calvary. Draw them to his feet. Draw them to his side. Draw them to his blood. Draw them to his righteousness. Oh, draw them to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, who alone can save. Oh, what a wonderful mercy if we have been taught our need of salvation, and our need of a Saviour, and our need of the one thing needful, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, thou knowest if there are found those here who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon that hope set before them, which hope we have as an anchor of a soul, both sure and steadfast, within the veil. Oh, what a mercy if we have been taught to flee unto Jesus, just as we are, nothing but sin I thee can give. But oh, to prove nothing but love shall I receive, for this man receiveth sinners. Oh, what a comfort. Oh, what an encouragement. Oh, this man, the once crucified, but now risen, ascended, exalted Saviour, receiveth sinners, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He who is found the King of grace upon the throne of grace, where poor sinners would come boldly unto that throne of grace and there to obtain mercy, there to find grace to help in time of need. So Lord, remember us as we gather here this morning hour, and we do pray for thy felt presence. Oh, that Jesus himself would draw near. Oh, may it be with many. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, reveal thyself. Make thyself known. Oh, soften our hard hearts. Open our blind eyes. Unblock our deaf ears. Cause us to hear. Cause us to see. Cause us to rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh, visit us here this morning. And Lord, drop down that pledge of thy love. Oh, bless many souls here. Thou knowest how each one has come. Though man looketh upon the outward appearance, God looketh upon the heart. Thou, God, seest me. What a comfort to those who have come praying their way unto Zion. Those who have come with weeping and with supplications. Those who have come seeking a portion for their soul. Oh, those who have come begging for a word in due season. Those who have come seeking an handful of purpose. Those who have come seeking for that crumb, but from under the Master's table, which has come from the Master's bread. O Lord, be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like them that go down into the pit, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. Those who have come seeking to press through that crowd of doubts and fears and unbelief and all those things that would prevent, to touch the hem of his garment, oh, to receive that virtue. Oh Lord, remember those in spiritual need, those in soul trouble, those longing to make their calling and election sure, those longing to know their sins forgiven, their iniquities pardoned, those longing to know their peace with God, those longing to know that they are thine, saved with an everlasting salvation and found in that covenant of thy grace. Lord, remember any who feel so troubled, so burdened, so feelingly outside of a secret. Oh Lord, who fear they're not one of thy sheep, fearing they have never heard thy voice, and yet it's a great burden. The companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Remember any in providential need, any cast down by the hardness of the way, any who feel to be at the ends of the earth, all their wisdom is swallowed up, all these things are against me, everything is dark and nothing is light, everything is crooked and nothing is straight, everything is rough, nothing is plain. Show me wherefore thou so contendest with me. O Lord, remember such. Remember those who carry about a body of weakness, infirmity, affliction, those who may be in distress, those who may be disappointed, those walking a lonely pathway, those feeling to be so troubled and so tried and so weary, who long for thy help, who long for thy appearing, who need thy wisdom, who need thy grace, who need thy strength, who need thy upholding, who need to feel the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are those everlasting arms. Bless each one gathered here. Remember the dear babes, the little ones, the children, the young people growing up. Lord, have mercy upon them each. Oh, dear Lord, who remember them in their young and tender days. Mercifully implant thy holy, tender fear deep into their hearts. And bring that fear into exercise. To rule and to govern and to regulate their lives. Oh, that unctuous bright light to all that is right, and yet also that bar to all that is wrong. To help them in their schools and colleges. Oh, keep them from the ways of the world and all the carnal attractions, the things that would entice, the things that would allure, the temptations. Oh, may they each be kept and grant them that grace, like dear Moses of old, to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin but for a season. Remember parents also seeking to bring their children up aright. Oh, that need of wisdom, that need of grace, that need of discernment, that need of patience. Remember all in the midst of life, bearing the heat and burden of the day. Oh, so many burdens, so many cares, so many duties, so many responsibilities. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Remember older friends also in their declining years, the grasshopper becoming a burden, the mud-walled cottage shaking. Lord, remember them. Bless them in their latter days. Oh, may it be at evening tide, it shall be light. So we pray for each one present. Remember any who would be here if they could. Any laid aside in sickness or affliction, grant healing mercies unto. Those caught up in lawful employments. And those who may be away at this time, thou knowest. Oh, bless this cause of truth. Lord, remember them still, be with them still, bless the officers of the church, do help them, grant the church here that peace, that brotherly love, that unity and harmony. Oh, bless them with a godly increase. And Lord, could it please thee to raise up a pastor over this people here? What a promise I will give you, pastors after mine own heart. And, O Lord, bless the ministry of thy word here. And may thy Holy Spirit be amongst this people. Oh, may it be, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. May great things be done here in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. O Lord, remember Zion. Remember thy people. Remember the friends of Salville as they gather there. Help one in conducting the service. Lord, be with him and strengthen him and help him through. Lord, we feel especially burdened to pray for a young lady from Leatherhead Chapel, who the last we had heard was very, very poorly following the birth of a little one. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to lay thy healing hand upon her. Oh, restore her and strengthen her, we pray. Sanctify these things unto her and to her dear husband at this time in what he is passing through. Lord, remember him. Remember the respective parents and families. Oh, do mercifully appear. And may it be, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, many whom thou lovest art afflicted and art sick. Oh, Lord, we live in a sad day, a difficult day, a dark day. Oh, forsake us not, we pray. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. But, Lord, come now, even according to thy word. Oh, send help. Bless us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And may Christ be first. May Christ be last. May Christ be all in all. Lord, glorify thy name. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? 585.
In seeking that grace of dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have set before us in our text, we might say, two types of people. There is that distinct line of separation betwixt the one and the other. The one being those who are yet in the flesh, and the other being those who are found in the Spirit. Really, verse 5 sets before us clearly such teaching. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, dear friends, where are we found this morning? Are we found in the flesh, minding the things of the flesh? Or are we found in the Spirit, seeking those things that are of the Spirit? I felt led to read to you that portion in John 3. Primarily for two reasons. There is there that grand truth the Lord speaks unto Nicodemus. And that truth is exactly the same today as it was when the Lord Jesus spake it unto him, nigh on 2,000 years ago. And that same truth has always been found the same down through the centuries. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That is, born from above, that is, born again of the Holy Ghost. How emphatic is the language, ye must be born again. And then later on, toward the end of that reading, we read about man by nature, that his deeds are evil. No wonder from one whom the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. For everyone that doeth evil hateth a light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Now, the dear psalmist was well taught concerning his own heart, and well taught concerning the truth of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Oh, how he felt burdened at times concerning his sin, for he had been taught that truth, that he was a sinner. Dear friends, have we been taught that truth, that we are a sinner? It's so easy to say the words, I am a sinner, but quite another thing to know them in our hearts. To know that we are sinners in the sight of an holy, righteous, just God who has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And yet the psalmist goes on to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Is that our desire? Is that our prayer? That we might be enabled to come to the light, to be shown by God the truth of God and the truths of God concerning our own hearts, concerning our need of salvation, concerning our need of a Saviour, concerning our need to be saved from the wrath to come, from eternal death, from eternal damnation. Oh, we live in days when there's such lightness and frivolity concerning the truths of afterlife. That is, following one's death. Man speaks so glibly concerning these things, even concerning hell. But to one who has been quickened, to one who has been awakened, to one who has been shown in measure the plague of his own heart, the wickedness of his own sins, to one who has been brought to Sinai, the broken law of God, the thunderings, the lightnings, the terrible majesty of God, the greatness of God. Oh, such a one trembles at the holy word of God. To such a one will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite in heart, and trembleth at my word. Have we been brought to tremble at the holy word of God? Has the word of God been spoken into our hearts? It's been spoken into our ears. Every one of us here has heard the word of God. We have heard it read. Perhaps we've read it for ourselves. I trust you have. But have we heard the word of God in our hearts? Like the parable of a sower, has that seed which is good, the good seed, has it entered into our hearts? Or it may be that you cannot find those evidences of life, either of the blade, either of a corn, either of the ear, the falcon in the ear. But as it is with nature, I believe it is the same spiritually. When that seed is implanted within the ground, it's hidden away, cannot be seen by the natural eye. But there is that of taking root downward. And how the Lord teacheth his dear people concerning that taking root downward. Or how the Lord Jesus speaks concerning closet prayer. Do we know what closet prayer is? To find that place where none other eye can see, where none other ear can hear, Oh, where we seek to draw nigh unto God. Oh, where we seek to pour out our hearts unto Him. Oh, where we enter into Thy closet, and when Thou hast shut Thy door, pray to Thy Father, which is in secret, and Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward Thee openly. And what has been the sum and substance of our prayers? Is it the prayer of a publican? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Has it been a prayer for mercy? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Really, in our text we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For ye must be born again, for there must be that spiritual life. And I believe passionately that where there's that spiritual life, there will be that spirit of prayer. Before the Lord began that work of grace in the heart of Saul of Tarsus, he was a Pharisee, even a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a very proud Pharisee. And no doubt, like the Pharisees, he would be found in the chief places of the temple, of the synagogues. He would be found upon the street corner saying his prayers, to be seen of men, to be admired of men, to be looked up to by men. And no doubt he made very long, pretentious prayers, vain repetitions, so on. And like that Pharisee, we read, as the Lord Jesus speaks of the Pharisee and the publican who went up to the temple to pray, there he would be thanking God for this, for that, for the other, thanking God that he was better than others, holier than others, more righteous than others, more upright than others. And no doubt he felt that God was extremely pleased also with him, because he was such a good person, because he was such a godly person, because he was such a wonderful Pharisee in all that he did, and also in all that he did not do. And there he rested his salvation upon his own works, upon his own doings, upon his own righteousness, upon his own goodness. But until the Lord dealt with him, until the Holy Spirit dwelt in his heart, it could never have been said of him, "Behold, he prayeth." But when the Lord dealt with him, when the Lord humbled him, when the Lord showed him concerning the plague of his own heart, the wickedness of his own heart, oh, it showed him that terrible truth that he was a sinner, a guilty, vile, ruined, lost, undone, perishing, hell-deserving sinner. And then taught him to pray not merely from his lips, but to pray from his heart. And no doubt he prayed that prayer of the publican, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Have we come up to the house of God with that prayer? Or have we come seeking mercy of God because we are sinners? Guilty sinners, repetitive sinners, that we have sinned against light and knowledge, that we are not worthy of the very least of the Lord's mercies nor blessings, that we are defiled from head to foot with sin. As a dear hymn writer once penned, "All unholy and unclean, I am nothing else but sin, a guilty sinner." And yet such, under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, are taught to pray. In this very same chapter we read concerning prayer and the Holy Spirit inditing prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And it is the will of God that each one of his dear sheep shall hear his voice, and each one of his dear sheep shall be called by his grace, to be saved by his grace, and will be sanctified by his grace. And such souls will be led to the throne of grace. We might speak stronger. Such souls will be constrained unto the throne of grace. We might go stronger still. Such souls will be compelled unto the throne of grace. Or they will come just as they are. They will come as sinners, but they will come as penitent sinners. Or they will come with that broken heart, that contrite spirit. Or they will come in humble confession of all of their sins. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done all this wickedness in thy sight. Or they will come with weeping, yes, and with supplications, will I lead them unto the throne of grace. Why the throne of grace? Well, firstly, it is where the Lord has promised to meet with his people. The Lord speaking unto Moses concerning the Ark of the Covenant, and there will I commune with thee, and there will I meet with thee, from above the seat of mercy, from between the two cherubims of glory. Ah, that the Lord will meet with sinners, but above the seat of his mercy. We read in the Epistle of John, speaking of Christ, and he is the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation, really meaning the mercy seat. The seat of mercy. Now, souls taught by the Holy Spirit that they are sinners, guilty sinners, will have one plea, and that will be for mercy. For they will be stripped of all their own self-righteousnesses. They will be stripped of all their dependence upon their works and their doings and all that they thought that they could do to earn themselves salvation. But now they see that sin is mixed in all that they think, all that they say, all that they do, and that they cannot cease from sin. There will be that cry for mercy. Ah, have you been taught to cry for mercy? The Lord drawing you unto himself, unto the throne of his grace. As the apostle so beautifully speaks concerning the throne of grace and really the purpose of the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Really for these two ends, that we may obtain mercy. I find that so beautiful and so encouraging, that at the throne of grace one may obtain mercy. For there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And so poor sinners taught by the Holy Spirit, feeling the plague of their own hearts, or feeling that great burden of their sins, the guilt of their sins, knowing that in and of themselves they must perish, eternally perish. And oh, how they tremble. Oh, how they tremble at the almighty wrath of God against them because of their sins. And yet such would seek grace to come boldly unto the throne of grace, there to obtain mercy. Again, how the psalmist so beautifully sets forth the merciful God, the God who is gracious, the God who is merciful. Lord, hear my voice. You see, there's a living soul. There's a soul taught by the Holy Spirit in coming to the throne of grace, in drawing nigh unto God in humble prayer, he would be heard. He believes God to be the living God. And he seeks to gain the ear of God. Oh, he seeks that his prayers might be heard. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. You think of a little child in pain or distress and goes to its busy parent. And the child wants the parent's attention. The child wants the parent to attend to them, to listen to their tale of woe or whatever. To look upon them, to take notice of them. Or how much more so does a soul taught by the Spirit come to the throne of grace, seeking that the Lord might be attentive to the voice of their supplications, their strong pleadings, their groanings, their yearnings, their longings. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? What a most solemn word. If the Lord was to mark our iniquities, which are infinite in number, which are so terrible against his holy majesty, the law of God, which is good, but what we have broken. And here my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand before such an holy, just God? But there is forgiveness with thee. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I do believe that when the Lord begins that work of grace in the hearts of his dear people, in the Spirit's work of regeneration, not only will be found that spirit of prayer, but in that sense that spirit of filial fear. Yes, there might be that servile fear, where we tremble before such an holy God, but that filial, tender fear, planted deep into their hearts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to depart from the ways of evil. The fear of the Lord is that fountain of life. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That hope in the mercy of God. Remember, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon those who hope in his mercy. Poor, trembling, burdened, guilty soul. Ye who fain would find mercy, are you found hoping in the mercy of God? When Jonah went to Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh trembled at the word of God, they trembled concerning what should happen to them. They trembled concerning the judgments of God upon them, they repented. They repented of their wicked ways. They repented of their sins. And they hoped in the mercy of God, found really in three words, who can tell? Who can tell that God might yet be gracious unto us? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. The word of God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And should the Spirit of God dwell in you, there will be that hunger, there will be that thirst, after the living God, but after the word of God. Again, like the psalmist, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Speak peace into my troubled heart. So, O Lord, pardon my sins, for they are many. O pronounce that I am thine. O speak thus, son, daughter, thy sins which are many have all been forgiven thee. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. I trust, I believe, there are found those here this morning waiting upon the Lord. In this sense, and in his word do I hope. And what you long for is that the Holy Spirit might take of the things of Jesus and apply them with divine power upon your soul. Oh, that that word might come with such divine power, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and of the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. The living word of God. The scriptures we read are able to make us wise unto salvation. The scriptures to comfort the Lord's dear people. And what comfort can the Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe, but to such who do feel their woe? Oh, do feel their lost, undone, perishing condition? Those who would be found fleeing from the wrath to come, crying out, life, life, eternal life. Oh, those who would be found fleeing unto that refuge for sinners, found in the Lord Jesus. Well, such will be found hoping in the word of God. And in the word of God twofold, in the written word of God, the holy scriptures we have before us here, but also in the incarnate word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how it's a great burden unto seeking souls, that they might be finding souls. Oh, finding that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Believing, because such have been taught by the Holy Spirit, believing that he is able to save. That his precious blood he shed forth on Calvary's cross cleanseth from all sin. But you long to know it applied. Oh, you long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. Oh, you long to know that peace with God. Oh, you long to know your iniquities pardoned, your transgressions covered over. You long for that glimpse of his dear face. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And you see how the psalmist has that real exercise, that real yearning, that real longing. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they
that watch for the morning. 'Tis midnight in my soul, till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ah, perhaps there are some here this morning, and it all feels to be dark in your soul. You just feel the misery of your sin, the guilt of your sin, or you feel to be perishing, or all is darkness and you have no light. And you'll cry again like the dear psalmist in another psalm, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Oh, how you long for the Lord Jesus, who is the light of this world, to enter into your soul. Oh, you long for the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. So you're longing for him more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel, the spiritual Israel, those born again of the Holy Ghost, those quickened to feel their need of him, those who are found seeking Jesus, let Israel hope in the Lord. Is not hope one of those principal graces we read of in, is it 1 Corinthians 13? Faith, hope, and charity, which is love. Let Israel hope in the Lord. All the Lord's dear people are hoping in the Lord. They're hoping in his word. They're hoping in what he has said. They're hoping and trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. They're looking to him alone. You know, it's a wonderful mercy. I speak not just to seeking souls, but to those who have been blessed with that saving knowledge of him, who may be passing through times of great trial and great trouble, who may feel to be walking in darkness and have no light. It's a wonderful mercy if we're not without hope. Oh, it may be a tried hope, a greatly, greatly tried hope. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou didst cause me to hope. For this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Wonderful mercy, if we're not without hope. Again, in another psalm, the psalmist feeling so troubled and burdened at his sins, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Those words, thou hast been my help, to give me that hope in thy mercy, that hope in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Redeemer who shall redeem, the Saviour who shall save, the Deliverer who shall deliver. Oh, what a mercy if we truly feel our need of him, even to save us from all our sins. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If so be that ye have been born again. If so be ye have been quickened, ye have been awakened. If so be that ye have been taught to pray. If so be that you have felt and do feel the plague of your own hearts. If so be that ye have been taught that ye are a sinner, an hell-deserving sinner, a dying, perishing, guilty sinner,
if so be he would flee from the wrath to come and flee unto that refuge for sinners, believing the Lord Jesus to be that refuge for sinners. Oh, did not we read those very, very well-known words? But oh, to be found in them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If so be that ye believe in him, if so be that ye desire to believe in him, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And again we read, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that was instruction from God, because the children of Israel had sinned. They had sinned against God. And the Lord sent those fiery flying serpents, which bit many of them, lively type of guilty sin. That we all have been bitten by sin. That we all have that malady of sin. That each and every one of us here, indeed in the whole world, is defiled from head to foot with sin. But do we know it? Do we feel it? Or do we feel that pain? Do we feel that distress? Or do we feel that terrible guilt? For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, lifted up. Yes, at the cross, lifted up in the preaching of the gospel. For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, I do hope and trust this is a gospel we preach. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that we would point sinners unto Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. The sinner's only hope, the sinner's only plea, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speeching and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How vital it is to know that our religion is wrought of God. I believe it's a great burden to many of the Lord's tried and tempted people. Am I made a real Christian? Or when we consider that parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, the solemnity of being found as a foolish virgin, all to outward appearance likened unto the wise. Or that there didn't seem to be any difference whatsoever. They were all going the same way. They all had that same profession, that love unto the bridegroom, and would enter in with him. But there was that one vital difference. No oil. No grace. No work of grace begun. Never had those foolish virgins been born again. Never had they been truly taught to pray. Never did they truly feel their need of the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins. Oh, that we be found possessors of that heavenly grace. Ye must be born again. Oh, how solemn to have a name to live and yet to be dead. How solemn to have a form of godliness but denying the power. Oh, how solemn to have just a mere profession of religion. How solemn to be found sitting under a gospel ministry all our lives and yet to be lost. How solemn never to feed under that ministry. How solemn never to benefit from it. You see the difference, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, I know many of the Lord's dear children are troubled even in the house of God with wandering thoughts and wandering minds, distractions and things interfere, don't they? But here's this vital difference. How many of us this day have been minding the things of the flesh? Really, our hearts are outside in the things of the world. We've been thinking about the things we've been doing in the past week or the things which may be before us in the coming week. We've been planning, scheming. We've been totally ignoring the word of God and the things of God. Really, the cry is, we will not have this man to reign over us. But how differently those in whom a work of grace has begun, those who are found after the Spirit, seeking the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. Now that literally means an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. Oh, do we not read in that wonderful chapter of faith what it is to please God? By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, that he is a living God, that he is a mighty God, that he is a merciful God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And those who are found diligently seeking him will have that spiritual life. They will be seeking after the things of the Spirit. Or they will be seeking their interest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. Or they will be found seeking to feed under the ministry of the Word of God. Or they will have that exercise that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And they will long to know him as my Lord and my God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Lord add the blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Javies Rutt is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer Lord's Supper after the evening service and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1133. May the power that brings salvation, now exerted in the Word, by its quickening operation, life impart and joy afford, life to sinners, joy to those who know the Lord. 1133.
Thank you.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.